The UN Security Council Thursday had yet another meeting where Syria was the focus, and we bring you that in its entirety now.
The
8,230th meeting of the Security Council is called to order. The provisional agenda for this meeting is non-proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. The agenda is adopted. The Security Council will now begin its consideration of item 2 of the agenda. At this meeting, the Security Council will hear a briefing by Ambassador Sasha Sergio Laurenti Solis, permanent representative of Bolivia, in his capacity as chair of the Security Council Committee established pursuant to Resolution 1540, 2004. I now give the floor to Ambassador Sasha Sergio Laurenti Solis. You have the floor. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
It is an honor to brief the Security Council on the work of the 1540 Committee in its task of overseeing the implementation of Resolution 1540. As we all recognize, the importance of Resolution 1540 as a key element in the global effort to prevent the proliferation of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons and their means of delivery to non-state actors, including terrorists, I need to stress that we have a truly challenging task in overseeing the implementation of Resolution 1540. Resolution 1540 is a platform for cooperation to prevent non-state actors from gaining access to weapons of mass destruction. We need to be clear that without cooperation, it would be impossible to address the issue at a global level. In that framework, I'd like to inform the Security Council about the main 1540 Committee's activities since my previous briefing provided to the Security Council, and give an overview of upcoming events and some prospects for this year. In 2018, the Committee continues to build on the momentum imparted to its work by the outcome of the 2016 Comprehensive Review and the subsequent Resolution 2325 of 15 December 2016. Under this resolution, the Security Council directed the 1540 Committee to intensify its efforts to promote the full implementation of all 1540 obligations by all states. To this end, detailed proposals were incorporated into the 2018 program of work that will shortly be submitted. The committee, inter alia, plans to hold discussions on enforcing appropriate effective laws for the prohibition of activities under paragraph 2 of the Security Council Resolution 1540. Plans to take note of the continually evolving nature of the risks of proliferation, and also plans to hold a close expert level meeting on the committee to consider other issues highlighted in Security Council Resolution 2325. In addition, a report of implementation of Resolution 1540 from all member states remains one of the highest priorities for the committee. In this regard, I'm glad to inform you that we received two first reports in 2017 from Equatorial Guinea and Zimbabwe. More recently, in early 2018, we also received a first report from Timor-Leste. This brings to 180 the number of states that have submitted national reports. However, we still have before us the challenge of 13 non-reporting states. To achieve universal reporting as soon as possible might include issuing non-verbals to member states that reiterate requirements on reporting on national implementation and meeting countries' representatives in the margins of the General Assembly. States are also encouraged to inform the committee of their points of contact for the implementation of Resolution 1540. In 2017, Belize, Bosnia and Herzegovina, Costa Rica, and Mauritania did so, bringing to 101 the number of states that have now done so. To strengthen the capabilities of the points of contact and of the POCs network as a whole, in 2017, the committee organized one regional training course for the Asia-Pacific region. The seminar was hosted for the second time by China. For 2018, two more POC training courses are planned, one for the African region in Addis Ababa in cooperation with the African Union in June 2018, and another planned for the OSCE region in September 2018 in Russia. Voluntary national implementation action plans were another priority of the committee. The committee continued to work with the support of regional and sub-regional organizations to help member states develop and implement voluntary 1540 NAPS. During 2017, the committee received five new NAPS, while Kyrgyzstan and Uzbekistan submitted already the reviewed and second voluntary NAPS as of today. 31 NAPS have been received. The committee's group of experts participated in a roundtable intended to develop new NAPs in El Salvador, Guatemala, Guyana, Mongolia, Suriname, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan. The work of NAPs with other countries will be continued upon the request during the current year. The committee also continued to promote the sharing of experience, including through peer reviews, to evaluate the reinforced effective practices in effective implementation of Resolution 1540. The peer review meetings conducted by Colombia and Chile and by Belarus, Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan respectively in 2017 constitute very good examples of this effective mechanism. The committee will continue to support states that wish to conduct peer reviews and will actively encourage such meetings where appropriate. To enhance its capacity to better monitor implementation of Resolution 1540, the committee considered and approved last year a revised matrix format. The changes made streamlined the existing matrix by better reflecting the obligations contained in Resolution 1540. In accordance with Resolution 2325, the revised matrix also takes into account the specificity of states with respect to their ability to manufacture and export related materials. During 2018, the committee's group of experts will convert existing matrices to the new format. With the objective to better support the states in developing more detailed and effective assistance requests and to better provide them in response to their requests with effective assistance that meets their needs, the committee revised its assistance template in March 2017. This will in effect strengthen the committee's effort as matchmaker. The new assistance template is published on the committee's website. The committee received new assistance requests from Belize, Kenya, and Tajikistan. The requests were sent to potential assistance providers, and summaries were published on the committee homepage as usual. In 2017, the committee also considered how to improve the facilitation of technical assistance to states and decided to task its group of experts at the state's invitation and subject to available resources to actively facilitate assistance. With this, the committee aims at being able to close a gap in assistance for those states and regions that are committed to implementing their obligations but have not been recipients of assistance offers so far. In 2017, the committee continued to exchange information with relevant international, regional, and sub-regional organizations, involve them in its outreach activities, for example, 1540 POC training courses, and encourage them to highlight obligations of resolutions 1540 in their model legislations and or guidelines or training of states as appropriate. In total, in 2017, there were 53 outreach events by and with international, regional, or sub-regional organizations in which the chair, committee members, and experts participated. The committee also continued to develop its website as a tool to raise public awareness and serve as a source of information and source of resolution 1540 for use and by member states, committee members, civil society, and industry. The new design of the website, finalized in 2016, provides enhanced usability and appeal. On 24 December 2017, after consultations with the committee, the United Nations Secretary General appointed 6 new experts for the 1540 group of experts, as during 2017 the term of some previous experts had ended. Three new experts have already joined the group, while the remaining new colleagues will follow by end of April 2018. In that regard, a process will be initiated to select a new coordinator for the group of experts in the nearest future. The outgoing members of the Security Council, Japan and Egypt, serve as coordinators of the committee's Working Group 1 on Monitoring and National Implementation and Working Group 3 on Cooperation with International Organizations, including ISIL-Daesh and Al-Qaeda Sanctions Committee and Counterterrorism Committee, respectively. I wish to thank both delegations for their vital contribution to the work of the committee. In that sense, on behalf of the committee, I'd like to welcome Mr. Henry Prieto from the delegation of Peru as coordinator of the Working Group of Monitoring and National Implementation, and Mr. Antonin Biecki from the delegation of Cote d'Ivoire as coordinator of the Working Group on Cooperation with International Organizations, including the ISIL-Daesh and Al-Qaeda Sanctions Committee and the Counterterrorism Committee. Both of them started working as new coordinators of the working groups on 4 April 2018. I'd like sincerely to thank those states that have made substantial contributions to the United Nations Trust Fund for Global and Regional Disarmament Activities directly in support of 1540 implementation. Without these contributions, the committee would be severely hampered in fulfilling its mandate in overseeing the implementation of the resolution and in facilitating capacity building where it is most needed. In 2017, funds were used for grants provided in early years by Canada, Germany, Japan, Kazakhstan, the Republic of Korea, and the United States, and from donations made by Japan and the European Union in 2017. Before closing, I'd like to make a few additional points with regard to the committee's planned outreach activities in the near future. As for my own country, Bolivia, we plan to host a regional conference on 1540 implementation in May this year for Latin American and Caribbean countries. The government of the Plurinational State of Bolivia, in cooperation with the 1540 Committee, will convene a conference for the states of Latin America and the Caribbean on the implementation of United Nations Security Council Resolution 1540 and its follow-up resolutions in La Paz from 9 to 10 May 2018. The conference is dedicated to actively support the implementation of the resolution in the Latin American and Caribbean region. It will provide a platform for states to present their existing laws and regulations that serve their implementations, and it will especially provide an opportunity to exchange views and effective practices on the handling of related materials, with a view to strengthening the region's record on the implementation on Resolution 1540. The committee is considering conducting another regional assistance conference at an appropriate time in 2018. Here, the committee will continue to draw on the good collaboration already established with the key international organizations to help with the delivery of assistance and support for related activities. Regarding cooperation with international and regional organizations and UN entities, the tasks set out in Resolution 2325 are specific. The committee's group of experts has already had a meeting with the Counterterrorism Committee Executive Directorate to prepare future country visits later this year, and with CTIETF on how best to collaborate to support 1540 Committee's activities, in particular with respect to scientific and technological trends and the risk of misuse by non-state actors. With regard to the key international organizations that support its work, the 1540 Committee will take advantage of the visits to New York by head of these organizations to meet the committee in order to encourage the support to Resolution 1540 implementation. In continuation of the so-called Wiesbaden process, which stands for an active dialogue between states and industry on effective implementation of export controls, and which was initiated by Germany, two more regional events designed to engage industry are so far planned for 2018. One is a regional meeting taking place 16-17 April in New Delhi, India, and the other one will take place in September 2018 in the Republic of Korea. These activities are supported by a grant to the Trust Fund from Germany. If any members of the committee would like more information on these events, particularly regarding possible participation, do not hesitate to get in touch with the group of experts. I'd like to conclude by reiterating my commitment to the full implementation of Resolution 1540. The threat of use of weapons of mass destruction by non-state actors is a clear and evolving reality. The 1540 committee will continue its efforts to prevent this danger with the strong support of the member states and other international partners. The committee, with the support of its group of experts and the UN Office for Disarmament Affairs, stand ready to cooperate with and, as requested, to facilitate assistance to states with their 1540 implementation efforts that will contribute to achieving our common objective to prevent the catastrophic use of weapons of mass destruction by non-state actors. Before closing, Mr. President, I'd like to thank all the delegations that have participated not just in our work, but also in concluding our program of work that has been just distributed. Without the continuous help of all the delegations, it would be impossible to achieve our goals. I thank you very much for your attention.
I thank Ambassador Sasha Llorente for his very comprehensive briefing, and I will now give the floor to members of the Council who would like to make statements. I give the floor to the representative of the United Kingdom.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Many thanks indeed to our Bolivian colleague for his briefing and the work of his committee. We welcome the new coordinators. And may I say at the start that we were very pleased to have been paired with Equatorial Guinea in terms of capacity building. Mr. President, 1540 was the first subject I worked on when I came to the Security Council 10 years ago, my first time here. So I'm very pleased to have the opportunity to talk about it today and to be able to say that for the United Kingdom, the 1540 Committee is a vital component of the international order. We need to empower it to fulfil its mandate, and we need to support it to the hilt. Mr. President, as a number of us have said this week already, we risk seeing a situation that the Security Council should dread, that chemical and biological weapons become a routine part of fighting. And regrettably, we have been confronted in very recent weeks by multiple incidents of the use of weapons of mass destruction by non-state actors. The UN Joint Investigative Mechanism found Daesh used mustard gas on at least two occasions in Syria. There are multiple instances of mustard gas use by Daesh in Iraq. In Australia, a planned chemical terrorism attack was thwarted in July last year. These incidents clearly exemplify why the 1540 Committee and its work to prevent the proliferation of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons by non-state actors is so important. These events, Mr. President, are awful enough. Yet, in acts of unbelievable irresponsibility, those risks have been exacerbated by the use of weapons of mass destruction by state actors. The chemical weapons attacks in Douma, the attempted murders in Salisbury are the most recent instances, but we also have the assassination of Kim Jong-nam in Malaysia and the horror of Khan Shikun a little over a year ago. Mr. President, I take this opportunity to say that in respect of Salisbury and the invitation from this council to keep members updated, we have requested a Security Council meeting next week where we would like to brief on the outcome of the OPCW findings. It is a worrisome pattern, this state use of WMD, and it clearly undermines our collective efforts to deter and eradicate the use of these weapons by state and non-state actors alike. We very strongly support the work to increase states' capacity, and we're encouraged that there are now only 13 non-reporting states. Any non-reporting is troubling, but it is good that the number is going down. And as I say, we were delighted to be paired with Equatorial Guinea and provide support. But it's clear that we stand on the cusp of a nightmare where weapons of mass destruction are used with impunity, where our citizens live in real fear of an indiscriminate attack at any time and without warning. It's not enough just to condemn this. We need to find a way to take meaningful action and ensure that there are meaningful consequences for perpetrators. We have all benefited from the international order that has kept us safe since the end of World War II. It behoves all of us, Mr. President, to make every effort to uphold this international architecture. It's clear that not all countries share this view, and we have talked about that several times this week. So I just want to say that in respect of this particular committee, 1540, there is one council member who has sought at every opportunity to slow progress and dilute the substance of every proposal, whether this is programme of work, deadlines, calls to action, efforts to take progress forward. All of these have sadly been consistently watered down, and the panel of experts has even been prevented from travelling. Mr. President, if we are serious about dealing with the threats that the committee was set up to counter, then this state of affairs can't continue. Since last February, the 1540 committee has met formally only once, and the actions agreed in the 2017 programme of work have barely made progress. That means also that the commitments made in relatively modest resolution 2325 have not been fulfilled. The new programme of work has only just been agreed 2 months later than legally mandated. And in these 2 months, the committee was left without a clear steer of objectives and activities to pursue. Mr. President, I cannot think of any legitimate reason why any country would want to affect the work of the 1540 committee adversely in this way, and I appeal to everybody around the table to redouble efforts so that we have an ambitious programme of work for the committee. We must stand up for the universal norms and standards we have spent decades building to create an effective and powerful non-proliferation regime, whether that deals with state actors or it deals with non-state actors. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of the United Kingdom for her statement. I now give the floor to the representative of the Netherlands.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. First, let me express our gratitude and appreciation to the chair of the 1540 Committee, our esteemed colleague from Bolivia, for his briefing on the work of the 1540 Committee and for his efforts to achieve full implementation of Resolution 1540. We furthermore welcome the new members of the panel of experts and the coordinators, and we wish them well in their new position. Mr. President, I will touch upon 3 points. First, the threat of weapons of mass destruction. Secondly, the importance of Resolution 1540. And thirdly, our work going forward. My first point, the threat of weapons of mass destruction. The use and the threat of the use of weapons of mass destruction to international peace and security is real and remains real. When such attacks occur, death comes in a gruesome way. Survivors have to deal with the aftermath of such attacks for the rest of their lives. The current situation is also impacted by the challenges and opportunities presented by scientific and technological developments. And we feel very strongly that this aspect should not be forgotten in the committee's work. Let me also reiterate that we fully support the ambition of the chair to bring the number of national reports to 100%, as he just mentioned. Mr. President, this brings me to my second point, the importance of the 1540 mechanism to prevent weapons of mass destruction proliferation among non-state actors. To address that threat, Resolution 1540 is key. With its focus on the use of WMDs by non-state actors, this resolution fills a clear gap in the international non-proliferation regime. The resolution also complements the important other work that is undertaken in the area of nuclear security. Let me mention, for example, the IAEA, as well as the impetus in this field that was achieved through the Nuclear Security Summit cycle. Therefore, full implementation of Resolution 1540 should be a priority for us all. and we underline the importance of capacity building in states who need assistance when it comes to export controls, an issue also just mentioned by the chair. This is an issue which is not also relevant for 1540 committee, it's a relevant issue in many of the subsidiary organs. My third point, Mr. President, the urgent need for concrete measures to strengthen the implementation of Resolution 1540. In light of the importance of its implementation, we are pleased that an agreement finally has been reached on the programme of work this morning. Let me congratulate my colleague of Bolivia for this achievement. However, this is not a time to be complacent. Now we need concrete action. The committee must continue its work effectively and efficiently in line with the measures laid out in Resolution 2325, especially those in clauses 8 and 9. Outreach towards the wider membership remains a key priority for us, and we welcome in particular the conference just mentioned by the chair to host a conference especially focused on Latin American, but especially Caribbean countries, as three of the autonomous countries in our kingdom are there, Aruba, Curaçao, and St. Maarten. In conclusion, Mr. President, we should reiterate our support to the important work of the 1540 Committee. It's necessary to build on the momentum created by the 2016 Comprehensive Review, and only by better working together on the implementation of this resolution, both in this Council, but certainly also with the wider membership, only by better working together in that way we can prevent weapons of mass destruction falling into the hands of terrorists. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of the Netherlands for his statement, and I give the floor to the representative of France.
Mr. President, I wish to thank you for having convened today's meeting. I also wish to thank Ambassador Sacha Lioanti, as well as his team, for the briefing and for the work done at the helm of Committee 1540. Today's adoption of its working program, which has been under discussion for a lengthy period of time, the content of which is to rise to our expectations, is an important and positive development. It helps to spell out initiatives to come by leveraging achievements made in past years. Mr. President, through the adoption of Resolution 1540 in 2004 and all the resolutions that followed, the Security Council has established the threat of proliferation and the use of WMDs, specifically by non-state actors, as among its priorities. It has thereby illustrated its role as custodian of the non-proliferation regime. However, the latter is presently clearly under threat. It is tested on many fronts by the persistent risk of a nuclear North Korea, by the ongoing destabilizing ballistic activities in the Middle East, and by the reemergence of chemical weapons in Syria with the use by the Assad regime and by Daesh in Salisbury and elsewhere. Moreover, proliferation is no longer within the sole domain of a single type of actor. There is a risk of non-state actors gaining access to sensitive material. This is a dangerous reality. In this context, in order to contain and stamp out proliferation, it is more incumbent upon us than ever before to step up our mobilization. This is the reason for being of Resolution 1540 and the resolutions related to it. And this remains more timely than ever before. Committee 1540 is an architect for the operations of all states and their efforts to stage a concerted effort against proliferation. And here I wish to pay tribute to the group of experts. Their analysis and awareness-raising efforts are indispensable for the action of Committee 1540. The review they conducted in 2016 has confirmed this. There has been progress in implementation of Resolution 1540 and following resolutions, and this progress is tangible both nationally and regionally. However, and the irrefutable progress achieved in recent years notwithstanding, a great deal is yet to be done. Mr. President, each of us must naturally strive to calibrate implementation efforts for Resolution 1540. We must all prevent and suppress the financing of proliferation. We must secure to the greatest possible extent sensitive material and goods on our soil. We must step up export control, specifically in the light of risks of exploitation of emerging technologies, a risk which we must address. For its part, France has modernized its national legal mechanism to combat proliferation. It now criminalizes proliferation-related activities and represses financing thereof. My country is also specifically engaged in prevention of risks of terrorists gaining access to sensitive nuclear and radioactive material, specifically radioactive sources whose security needs to be reinforced. We held the initiatives of the Global Initiative to Combat Nuclear Terrorism and the Global G7 Partnership Against Proliferation of WMDs, which we shall chair in 2019. Mr. President, I wish to particularly emphasize an approach of cooperation, assistance, and engagement, which should prevail over all of our efforts. Because we are more effective together, we must not undertake non-proliferation efforts in an isolated way. On cooperation and assistance, I wish to assure you that of our commitment, which serves to coordinate the working group on assistance, the aim is to step up the effectiveness of the assistance mechanism based on the tracks that have been mentioned. We attribute particular importance to stepping up the regional dimension of the approach to assistance and better alignment of needs and the offer proposed. The organization of regional events, such as that organized by the AU in 2016, is a successful formula which should serve as a source of inspiration and leverage. We also welcome the initiatives undertaken by other actors that have been mentioned. I would mention the specific role of the EU through the dynamism and consistency and steadfastness of its awareness raising. This helps to fuel cooperation. To be effective, we must also take stock of the challenges we face by stepping up synergies with the fora confronting the same challenges outside of the UN, such as the IAEA, OPCW, the World Customs Organization, or export control regimes and other bodies within it. I am specifically thinking of committees dealing with terrorism. These interactions should be cultivated. Mr. President, allow me to recall something else which is evident. At a time when challenges to our security continue to proliferate, there can be no alternative to a non-proliferation regime. This is a consistent policy from which France has never deviated, which we shall continue to uphold by fully supporting and contributing to the operations of Committee 1540. Thank you.
I thank the representative of France for his statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of the United States.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, and thank you too to Ambassador Llorente for your presentation on the work of the committee to implement Resolution 1540, which really was a landmark resolution in its day that has become one of the pillars of the international non-proliferation architecture. Given ongoing and evolving threats posed by the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, today's briefing reminds us of the critical importance of fully implementing Resolution 1540 for the sake of international peace and security. The shocking use of chemical weapons in Iraq, in Malaysia, the United Kingdom, as well as the egregious and systematic use of chemical weapons in Syria show that the threat posed by weapons of mass destruction is all too real today. Furthermore, the continued proliferation of WMDs by irresponsible actors increases the likelihood that these heinous weapons, or the capacity and knowledge to develop them, will fall into the hands of non-state actors who carry out terrorist attacks. Given these persistent threats, the United States will continue to prioritize efforts to strengthen our counterproliferation measures in line with our national security strategy and the nuclear posture review. Our efforts are aimed at ensuring our security and the security of the international community in order to prevent WMD proliferation by non-state actors. The full and universal implementation of Resolution 1540 is integral to achieving this goal. The United States will continue to provide strong support to a wide array of international organizations contributing to non-proliferation and provide extensive bilateral assistance to states seeking to implement their obligations under the resolution. The United States has already provided over $4.5 million in grants to the 1540 Trust Fund, which helps encourage states to address gaps in implementation of their 1540 obligations. We also continue to invest hundreds of millions in our partner countries for cooperative threat reduction and other non-proliferation and export control-related assistance programs around the world to reduce the threat of WMDs. We commend the Chair's plan to hold a regional conference in Latin America next month, improving implementation and exchanging best practices to strengthen national obligations across Latin America is very important. As a testament to our commitment to the region, we have helped fund a grant for the Regional Coordinator Project in the Organization of American States Inter-American Committee Against Terrorism, which is now helping OAS members to develop 1540 national implementation action plans and will promote implementation of the resolution. Turning to the many tasks that lay ahead for the committee, it is clear that the committee must redouble its efforts to implement its program of work to enhance global implementation of 1540. While we regret that it took nearly 3 months to adopt the program of work, we are pleased that we can finally begin moving forward again. Now is the time for the committee to address real and evolving challenges. In particular, the United States believes the committee should prioritize four areas in the coming weeks. First, the committee must meet more regularly and develop a clear strategy for achieving the many elements of his program of work. Last year, after holding one formal committee meeting, the chair promised to convene more meetings and get the committee back to work, and we look forward to seeing him follow through on this promise. Second, since the committee has selected new experts, it should now turn to initiating a formal process for appointing a coordinator. This will also help the committee on track, keep the committee on track for continued progress. We look forward to working with the incoming experts who are critical to helping the committee carry out its very important mandate. Third, the committee must also seek to develop best approaches to enforce appropriate and effective laws to implement 1540, including by developing national control lists. And finally, in 2016, the committee adopted, the council adopted Resolution 2325 and said it would focus on the challenge of controlling access to transfers of technology and the evolving nature of the risks of proliferation due to rapid advances in science, technology, and international commerce. We hope the committee can take advantage of a wide array of civil society and industry resources to examine ways to combat these threats. In closing, the United States recalls that 1540, a Chapter 7 resolution, is binding on all member states. Implementation of its provisions is not optional for any member state. And in particular, in today's context, we see no greater risk of chemical weapons falling into the hands of terrorists than an unverified and unaccounted for chemical weapons program. For our part, the United States will continue to fully support the work of the 1540 Committee to stop the spread of weapons of mass destruction. I thank you very much, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of the United States for her statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Equatorial Guinea. Thank you, Mr. President. The delegation of the Republic of Equatorial Guinea welcomes the holding of this meeting today, and we would like to express our congratulations to the chair of the 1540 committee, Ambassador Sasha Sergio Laurenti Solis, permanent representative of the Plurinational Republic of Bolivia. We'd like to thank him for his leadership, dedication, as in the work that he is carrying out as head of the important 1540 committee. We'd also like to thank the entire committee and the outgoing group of experts for the work that they have done. And we reiterate to the new team the preparedness of Equatorial Guinea to work with you and participate actively in the work of the committee. Mr. President, we've taken good note of the report of the chair of the 1540 committee on the activities carried out during 2017. We welcome the progress that the committee has made with regard to the presentation of national implementation action plans by new states, including them our own country. Last year, we presented our own report to the committee. This is a significant step towards achieving this goal. And we would point out that Equatorial Guinea will continue to work towards the full and correct implementation of Resolution 1540 of the United Nations Security Council. Mr. President, I would encourage you to, and I would encourage the chair of the 1540 Committee to continue to publish the implementing measures of the 1540 resolution. There are only 13 states remaining that make us fall short of universality of the NAPs. We need to join our efforts together with the 1540 Committee towards the goal of universality. And this is why we need to continue to make progress in these discussions. Equatorial Guinea is extremely concerned at the growing threat of terrorism and the risk that non-state actors could acquire, develop, or use nuclear, chemical, or biological weapons or traffic in them, which would have unforeseen and devastating consequences for humankind. The threat is real, and it's very serious for global security. Developed countries have immense infrastructure and security services that are able to arrest the terrorist threat and prevent non-state actors from using the weapons of mass destruction. But they must bear in mind that if they don't help developing countries to have available to them the same kinds of tracking, monitoring, and security infrastructure, particularly at border points, these loopholes could be used by non-state actors and terrorists to get hold of materials that could lead to the manufacture and proliferation of these weapons of mass destruction. This is why it's imperative for all states to spare no effort, not only in prioritizing the adoption of national implementing measures pursuant to Resolution 1540, but it's also important for states such as Equatorial Guinea to provide for other measures to ensure that there can be correct and successful implementation of the measures referred to in the resolution. Equatorial Guinea recognizes the significant progress that has been made by the international community in the elimination of chemical weapons. In this regard, we would like to stress the need for there to be destruction of all categories of weapons of mass destruction so that humankind can live without the fear of the threat posed by these weapons. Mr. President, last Tuesday, the 10th of April, this Security Council once again showed itself unable to be effective in the conflict being experienced by the Syrian people, by not being able to give an opportunity to Syrian girls and boys to have a place to play without fear of the next bomb, not to be able to give Syrian women the opportunity to go out and take a walk, or give the opportunity to the elderly or the sick to find medicine or go to hospital. Is it so difficult for this council, entrusted as it is with ensuring global security, to find a solution for all of these people who place such high hopes in this decision-making body of the United Nations? Is it so difficult for us to reach agreement on an independent investigative mechanism which can identify those responsible for using chemical weapons in Syria? The Syrians have suffered 7 years of war. The Second World War only lasted five. The Republic of Equatorial Guinea would call upon all parties involved in this conflict, and which have greater or lesser influence on the country, to think a little bit about these Syrian girls and boys that are suffering so much. Think of them as if they were our own children or grandchildren. These Syrian women, think of them as if they were our wives or sisters. And these elderly men and women, let's think of them as if they were our mothers and fathers. Mr. President, we must urgently work on a new draft consensual proposal, draft resolution to establish a new mechanism for monitoring and attribution of responsibility for the use of chemical weapons. I thank you. I thank the representative of Equatorial Guinea for your statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Poland.
President, I thank Ambassador Sasha Loretti-Solis for his briefing, and also I would like to express my delegation's support for his further efforts in steering the 1540 Committee. Poland attaches great importance to its commitments on the non-proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. With full conviction, we do support implementation of legally binding instruments such as the Non-Proliferation Treaty, Convention of the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, and Biological Weapons Convention. Resolution 1540 constitutes an important complementary tool in this area, since it addresses more and more likely weapons of mass destruction-related threats posed by the non-state actors. UN Security Council Resolution 2325 calls upon states to take into account on the evolving nature of risk of proliferation and rapid advances in science and technology in their implementation of Resolution 1540. Rapid technological advances in the use domain continue to outpace national and international regulations. Non-state actors became more creative in weaponizing new technologies. Use of weapons of mass destruction by terrorists is a dreadful reality. Let me just mention that the joint investigative mechanism attributed use of chemical weapons in Syria also, but not only, to Daesh. All these developments prove that the Resolution 1540 is not only still relevant, but the importance of its full implementation is perhaps even greater than ever before. We also believe it is possible to build synergies between the 1540 Committee and other relevant international, regional, and sub-regional organizations, as well as functional groupings such as the Global Partnership, EU CBRN Centers of Excellence, the OECD, and the Proliferation Security Initiative. They all have tools to assist nations in a better implementation of their non-proliferation commitments. Mr. President, we are pleased that the program of work of the committee, adopted earlier today, recognized the need for a structure, more regular discussion based on monthly expert meetings of the committee. We hope that these regular sessions will contribute to the revitalization of the committee's work as well to an increased implementation of the Resolution 1540. We also hope that the process of selecting a new coordinator of the group of experts will be finalized soon according to an established principle. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Poland for her statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Kazakhstan.
Mr. President, I thank Ambassador Sacha Lorenti, the chair of the 1540 Committee, for his very informative briefing. In the face of rapidly increasing threat of WMD, the implementation of Resolution 1540 and 2325 is becoming most vital. And especially considering the present threats besetting us, the work of the committee is more relevant than ever. Kazakhstan, with its principled position against the threats of WMD, has always supported and will continue to support the activities of the committee. First, Kazakhstan will continue the tradition of allocating voluntary contributions to the UN Trust Fund for global and regional disarmament activities in order to assist the committee in ensuring implementation by states their obligations under the Resolution 1540. Secondly, we congratulate the committee on the new composition of the group of experts. We wish success to the representatives of Peru and Cote d'Ivoire on their new appointments as coordinators of working groups 1 and 3. We should always keep in our mind that the threats of WMD falling into the hands of non-state actors, together with the rapid growth of new technologies, are subject to evolution and improvement. The committee is doing a lot to respond to such threats in a timely manner and act proactively. In the report, as we requested last time, we see a huge work done on outreach activities, increasing the number of countries providing their national reports, monitoring and technical assistance that help increase the ability of states to confront modern threats of weapons of mass destruction proliferation. Thirdly, we must not lose sight of nuclear security. My president, Nursultan Nazarbayev, during the opening ceremony of the Low-Enriched Uranium Bank of IAEA in Kazakhstan last August, noted the importance of the resumption of the nuclear security summits that used to be conducted by the United States from 2010 to 2016. We are in favor of resuming such regular high-level meetings to discuss topical issues related to the non-proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. Taking into account the evolving nature of the risk of WMD proliferation, including the use by non-state actors of rapid advances in science and technology, we reiterate our initiative to establish a UN register on scientific developments leading to the creation and advancement of WMD, which would track such dangerous discoveries. As you know, Kazakhstan has developed and promotes, with the support of the UN community, the code of conduct towards achieving a world free of terrorism. Its implementation will contribute not only to the goals and tasks of the UN Counterterrorism Committee, but also the activities of the 1540 Committee, pointing out to the importance and the necessity of protecting critical facilities from the threat of terrorism. We express our support to the program of work of the 1540 Committee for a new period and hope for its effective implementation. In its work, the committee should help ensure that national policies and practices of member states are consistent with the goal of completely eliminating the threat of weapons of mass destruction. Finally, Mr. President, I would like to reaffirm Kazakhstan's firm commitment to consolidate the efforts of the world community to rid the world of WMDs. And this aim must be achieved by consistent strengthening and expansion of the non-proliferation regime, primarily within the framework of 1540. I wish to express the gratitude of my delegation for excellent work and solid action plan of the committee, and especially note the able leadership of its chair, our esteemed colleague, Sasha Laurenti. My delegation wants once again to assure of our full support of the committee's work and readiness to actively engage in its activities. I thank you.
I thank the representative of Kazakhstan for his statement, and I now give the floor to the representative of Côte d'Ivoire. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, my delegation would like to thank Ambassador Sasha Sergio Llorente Solis, permanent representative of the Republic of Bolivia, chair of the 1540 Committee. We'd like to thank him for briefing us on the activities of the committee charged with the implementation of resolutions on weapons of mass destruction. The subject at hand today is particularly important and poignant given the recent allegations of the use of chemical weapons in Syria. Mr. President, by adopting unanimously on the 28th of April 2004, Resolution 1540, our Council was addressing the challenge of the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. And we made this resolution an important part of the global security architecture. But 14 years on from the adoption of the resolution, our world continues to live under the persistent threat of weapons of mass destruction, which constitute a genuine challenge to the non-proliferation regime. This real threat, which is constantly evolving, is of concern to the entire international community. Certainly, we do welcome the significant progress that has been made in implementing Resolution 1540 and subsequent resolutions, but we must admit that a lot still remains to be done, given the risk posed by the acquisition of weapons of mass destruction by non-state actors, particularly by terrorist organizations. Côte d'Ivoire continues to be extremely concerned by the risk of seeing these non-state actors develop, acquire, manufacture, possess, transport, transfer, and use nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons or their means of delivery. This is why we strongly support action to prevent the proliferation of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons and their means of delivery, and why we feel that appropriate oversight mechanisms must be put in place in order to prevent their trafficking. My delegation reaffirms the importance of international cooperation and coordination in order to effectively implement Resolution 1540, in order to put an end to this genuine threat to international peace and security. Moreover, it's important to ensure the effective application of and strict respect for relevant international legal norms as they pertain to non-proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. In this regard, strengthening cooperation in the area of border controls, monitoring of financial flows and internet networks and legal assistance is more necessary than ever before. Mr. President, delegation of Côte d'Ivoire would also like to draw the attention of the Council and the international community to the issue of the security of numerous stockpiles of fissile material which are not covered by any international regulation and which could be used to manufacture weapons of mass destruction. The potential of these stockpiles being available could increase the risk of these substances being made accessible to terrorist groups. On this point, Côte d'Ivoire would call upon member states, with the help of the OPCW, to meet their international obligations deriving from the Convention on the Prohibition of the Development, Production, Stockpiling and Use of Chemical Weapons and Their Destruction. In this regard, the strengthening of national capacity, assistance, and awareness raising are important aspects in implementing the various international legal instruments. My delegation is of the view that the implementation of the various resolutions is a long-term goal, and this requires that all stakeholders, all those involved, particularly member states, international organizations and regional organizations, the private sector and civil society, be actively vigilant and actively cooperate. States in particular must work together in order to establish good practices that can prevent chemical agents falling into the wrong hands. Mr. President, the implementation of relevant Security Council resolutions on non-proliferation provides an essential role for the 1540 Committee, and this must constantly be stressed. My delegation will continue to work with this committee. It's enabled several member states to be able to present their initial reports. Côte d'Ivoire welcomes the improvement in cooperation between the 1540 Committee and UN and non-UN bodies in order to address the challenges of non-proliferation. We call upon the committee in this same light and based on its mandate to step up dialogue with international, regional and sub-regional organizations competent in this area in order to share experiences and lessons learned and to identify areas of synergy that could be leveraged in order to implement Resolution 1540 to the benefit of their respective member states. Côte d'Ivoire would also like to welcome the second in-depth review of the implementation of Resolution 1540, which was conducted in 2016 and which provided important recommendations. We hope that the next review planned for 2021 will make it possible to make significant progress in the area of the non-proliferation of weapons of mass destruction. And in this regard, Côte d'Ivoire welcomes the adoption of the programme of work by the members of the committee for 2018, which was a priority. For its part, Côte d'Ivoire, in our quality as Vice-Chair of the 1540 Committee, remains firmly committed to strengthening multilateral regimes of disarmament and non-proliferation, and we are prepared to make a constructive contribution to achieving the goals of this committee. And here we once again renew our support to it. Thank you. I thank the representative of Côte d'Ivoire for his statement.
You're listening to Weekday World on CPR, CommunityPublicRadio.org. I'm your host, Don DeBar.